This is a Discovery Channel podcast.
Building Supermax prisons is a booming industry. More than 30 states operate one or more Supermax units or prisons. Ohio State Penitentiary opened in Youngstown in 1998. Warden David Johnson.
The expectation is that we will house the most dangerous, disruptive, manipulative inmates in the Ohio system. We currently have about 47,000 inmates, and we're trying to find absolutely the most dangerous inmates among that 47,000 to house here so that our other institutions will be safer for the inmates and the staff that work there. We're the jail for the prison system.
The philosophy of Supermax is maximum control. Lieutenant John Smith.
This is the control center for C Block, which is one of four housing units here at the Ohio State Penitentiary. All the doors are open with the pod computers that are manned by two officers. Anytime an inmate goes to recreation, goes to a shower, on a visit, any of the such things, it's all controlled from here.
You can let the porter out in C4. Exercise B.
The chief attribute of the construction that we have here is that it makes it much easier for us to protect staff from these inmates, to protect other inmates from these inmates, and to really protect the inmates from themselves.
Major Paul Guyton.
When an inmate comes into this institution, to some extent, he's a little bit intimidated and unsure about what to expect. In processing and the way we go about doing that when the inmates are brought in, I think is real, real effective at setting the tone to begin with.
One of the chief criticisms nationally of Supermax prisons is the suggestion that inmates who spend their time here or are socially isolated or suffer from sensory deprivation. In fact, the reality is, at least at the Ohio State Penitentiary, these inmates live in small communities of 16 individuals. There is a tremendous amount of communication back and forth with the inmates. They even play chess from cell to cell.
But in the first 2 years of operation at Youngstown, 70 inmates were placed on suicide watch. Three succeeded in killing themselves.
Is it really reasonable for the public to expect that corrections can solve all the problems that inmates come to us with? Are we really rehabilitating inmates, or are we habilitating them? Can we take someone who has suffered physical and or sexual abuse as a child, failed in public education because of learning disabilities? Can we take these people who come to us with so many scars and turn them around? I think it's really quite remarkable that we are able to keep more than one in three of them from coming back.
Supermaxes may be necessary for controlling some inmates, but at what price?
To maintain security at this level is very, very expensive. The personnel costs alone are huge, and within a three-year period will equal the total cost of construction. The only way that that can be justified is that it keeps the other 46,000 inmates in our department safer, certainly keeps our staff around the department safer, and as long as we are able to run the Ohio State Penitentiary in a safe manner so that our employees are not at risk from these very dangerous inmates, then I think that we are meeting our mission.
At the San Francisco County Jail, more than 60 men are held in an experimental program called RSVP, an acronym for Resolve to Stop the Violence Project. Dr. James Gilligan.
New inmates coming through the front door for the first time, they're ready to fight with everybody to prove their masculinity and to gain respect and so on. And you will see the inmates who've been here for a while socialize the new inmates and teach them, you don't behave that way here. You don't have to. Cool it. And they do.
Instructors at the San Francisco jail believe violence is learned, and it can be unlearned. Inmates meet to examine the roots of violence in the culture they grew up in. Jerry is a program counselor.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Man Alive class. Man Alive is an acronym for Men allied nationally against living in violent environments. And we're here today to work on a violent incident with a man, basically to deconstruct the male role belief system, to see how his violence started, how it happened, and how it stopped. Jeff is going to talk about what this particular violent moment led to. Go ahead, Jeff.
It was in 1999. It was about a couple months after my mother died. I just got out of prison again. I was hooked. My wife was taking care of me because I had just got through beating a three strikes case, and she didn't want me going out, getting into more trouble. She'd got some insurance money. I talked her into letting me take some of that insurance money and go up north and cop some dope. So I was getting ready to leave, and she wanted me to stay home. And it became an argument. It was to the point where she had all the dope, she had all the money, and she wasn't going to give it to me. And finally, I snapped. I said, give me the money now and quit playing with me. She said, no, I'm not giving you the dope. Why don't you just stay here? Why don't you stay here? So I said, you know what, you bitch? And I snatched her by the throat, and I put her on the bed. I told her, give me the dope. Give me the dope. Give me the dope. I got outside, got in my car, and as I'm starting the car and backing out of the driveway, she's chasing me, like beating on the car, and I just burned rubber and headed off into the city. And that's about it.
In your disclosure, Jeff, I heard you state that when you asked her for the dope, she didn't give it to you. And you said that you began to do something. What was that you began to do?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, you began to antagonize, right?
Antagonize her, right? Calling her names.
Right. I have a question, and that's, I was wondering if you could just tell me some of the emotional losses that you and your partner experienced from this incident.
Trust. Major trust. Our relationship after that wasn't the same.
Some of these emotional feelings that you destructed?
I got to restore myself first before I can restore anybody else. And when I restore myself, then I can try to restore my family. My family might not want to be restored. And I know I can make that effort. I can't force that. And I got to try to restore my community. And if I can't restore, what I got to do is make the effort. That's what Man Alive's teaching me. I got to make the effort. And this is just a tiny step on a long journey for me.